Hi.
Hello. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Sorry that I'm starting this so close. I was on an interview call with a postdoc candidate and it ran a little bit long. So
Oh, no, you're fine.
awesome. Okay.
Hey, Mimi.
If
Hey
y'all
there.
so hi. So if y'all are okay, I'm going to record this largely because I expect that we may have some technical conversations that I want to make sure I'm focused on and not taking notes by hand. But I promise I will not distribute it anywhere. It's purely for my own internal use. And so, and Dan Stanzione accepted the meeting. He also, I know, was double booked this morning for our tax staff meeting. So I'm not quite sure what's going on his schedule, but hopefully he'll jump on if he can. And I want to just introduce John DeSantis, who thanks, John, for jumping on and joining us today. Although your picture is looking a little worrisome.
He's gone.
Yeah, I should not be in any meeting with anything related to atomic bomb since I'm from Iran.
Right, this is a problem. And Kyle, it's nice to meet you. I don't think you and I have met face to face, so
I don't think so either. Nice to meet you.
nice to meet you also. So we just really quickly, just for so John knows, I mean, do you want to introduce yourself? And then Kyle, do you want to introduce yourself? And kind of like as you do that, just tell us a bit about why we're talking with each other and what we're trying to achieve so that I haven't given John anything more than a Slack message that said, "Hey, can you join this call?" So he doesn't have much background.
Sure. Amin, did you want to go first? You want me to go?
Yeah. So basically, Suzanne, if you remember, we had a talk a while back about our launching a new automated system for oil spill program that we are helping GLO with. We are almost 99% done with developing that system, and Carl could talk about that more than me. But now we are at the point that we really need to run these on a daily basis, right? And then we have two systems to run that. One is like a local machine that we have, which we call it the Ferrari machine. It's like one of those fancy 20K machine that has 118 cores, and then we run this as a daily. But we also need a backup because this is something official that we need to give it to GLO on a daily basis. We want to run it on some of the cloud as well. And then we had this conversation with you all to kind of let us running that on TAC. So the idea that we kind of did some back and forth was like, okay, we can pay you all to dedicate a node to us, kind of sell a node to us that it's going to be ours, and then we are going to use it all the time that we want. Then at some point we switched to the fact that, okay, maybe you all can give us a node with a hero code that we don't need to wait in the queue anymore. And then use that code to kind of do our daily business. So Carl is to the point that he's debugging the code, doing the final touches, and then it's really hard for him to kind of wait in the queue for one day and then notice that, oh, the run is gonna finish in 5 minutes with an error or whatever, and then he needs to wait another one. This meeting is mostly for handling the idea of getting the hero code and also the allocation that we need for this run on a daily basis. This run is going to be on a cron tab, so it's going to run automatically every day, let's say, for example, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then we want to make sure that if it doesn't run, we're going to run it again and do another try later on the day. But basically, the idea is like having one or two nodes, run it for 2 or 3 hours max, with a hero code that you're not gonna wait in the queue.
So, John, just
How
for
many
your.
nodes? Yeah, I'm just taking notes right now. So let's take a couple steps back real quick. How many nodes did you say you needed to run for 2 or 3 hours per day?
One or
We can
two.
do with one. Yeah.
Okay.
One or two though.
Yeah. Well, one is definitely do it. Do is all two is always better, but we are fine with one as well.
Which system are you all? Do you all have allocation times? I haven't checked yet.
So
I'm on
there's.
Lone Star 6. Lone Star
Okay.
6.
Yeah, and we had an allocation called Dynamo that I'd set up for other reasons, but was kind of tagging this onto it as the general TWDB account that we could work through. I let
Okay.
that lapse because it was not clear what kind of compute we were actually going to be doing, and so I'll restart it if you know as soon as we kind of decide what we want to do. And so I'll with you, John, you and I can work together, and I'll like write the renewal for that allocation and try to get it set up. And then also for background for you, when Amin and I had talked before, we brought Kelly Gaither into the conversation. So when he talks about the hero code or the hero node, we had talked about, because I mean, you're running these codes usually at like 4 in the morning, right? Are these the same as the symmetry codes? Okay, so it's like standard, like every night at like 4 a.m. it'll kick off on that cron tab.
And just for some extra background, I don't know if it, I don't know how much you guys already know, but the goal is that we produce these forecasts of currents in the Texas bays and estuaries that we hand deliver to the GLO every day for their oil spill response teams. So they're using these products to essentially guide, like to forecast where spills are going to be in the next couple hours after that event. So we do the upstream work to make sure that these currents exist every day. And then whenever a spill does occur, we have a public link that they go to access that data, download it, plug it into their spill trajectory simulator, and plug in like the location and the material, and then it'll tell them, you know, essentially where to dedicate their resources. So
So what you're saying is it's actually useful data. It
yeah,
probably
it's being
shouldn't be
used.
cut from the
What?
from the federal funding, right?
Holy
It's
cremoli.
being used more
Okay.
times per year than I would like, than I
Yeah.
wish it were used,
And then
but
to add to that, John and Suzanne, we are planning to create a dashboard and make this data available to public as well. So anyone could use this data at some point, but our IT is so hard to work with that, you know, creating that dashboard is like a disaster at this
And
point for us.
let's talk some more technical stuff real quick. So when you're able to run on one node, I didn't catch it earlier, but how many cores were you running on, did you say?
I like to leave a little bit of headroom for memory reasons, but I'm using most of the cores. So I think it's currently set to like 112 of the 120, whatever it is.
128 no cores. Now, is this primarily IO driven, or is it more like user space computation driven? And what I mean by that is, like, when your application, when the hero code runs, is there like 112 threads each opening a separate file, or is it just 112 threads with maybe two of those dedicated to like opening file or anything, or you know, reading files and input data, things like that?
I think there are eight scribes that are dedicated to actual read-write. The read-write is probably somewhat intensive because it is generating a lot of data saved as netcdf files. But I think, I mean, the model itself is quite efficient, but I imagine that since most of the cores are being used on that, then it's still probably the heavier portion.
Do you have, in terms of like percentage, like let's say you've run 10 to 20 jobs, and they've all completed successfully. Are they mainly like in the 2 hour time frame, or are they, is it more or less like just anywhere between 2 to 3 hours?
I don't have precise statistics yet because all of the runs I've done so far have been different lengths. But I think that typically a simulation on a given morning is going to be for something like a week, and those runs tend to finish, including all the post-processing, in maybe an hour and a half.
One sec. And then does your code support checkpointing or restarts?
It does to some extent, yeah.
So the reason why I'm asking that is because right now the first thing I picked up on is, yeah, you shouldn't have to wait in the queue for all day just to find out if your application is going to run, only to find, like, let's say a small error. So we do have the development queue for that. I would recommend, you know, definitely exploiting that queue if you have like something new that you've introduced to your workflow, or maybe like a suspect input file. That way you can rule out pretty quickly without waiting too long if there's something that has to be changed on your end. But also at the same time, are you mainly running on the normal queue?
Yeah, that's the default right now.
So again, exploiting the system here, and this kind of takes away from the spirit of development a little bit. But if you're able to get your code or the majority of your applications or your runs that is to run in under 2 hours or less, you could just submit to the development queue. And at that point, you'd still see less queue time than you would if you submit to normal.
Yes.
And the
So
reason why
John, I don't think
I
they're
would
running
say
on
four.
Lone Star currently. They're running on their machines at TWDB. So we would be moving them over. Or are you, Kyle? Are you running
No,
on?
not yet. I am running on Lone Star right
Oh,
now.
you are running on.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking,
Okay, I'm
kind of like
sorry.
fishing out the certain, leaving breadcrumbs and stuff.
Our
Which
local machine
allocation?
is the is a plan is the plan
Okay.
for, our default, but we're still in the process of setting that up. So TAC has a lot more like pre-installed software infrastructure that we were able to use to get the code compiled sooner.
Yeah.
So we're starting there right now and trying to see how we can get our local machine kind of.
Actually, in that case, which allocation are you using? Because the Dynamo allocation's down. I've got you on the Planet
We got
Texas.
something from Clean for the development through another contract that we have in
Okay,
hand.
that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So going back to that, the idea that there is a hard cutoff at 2 hours for development, that's where the whole checkpoint and restarting could come into play. So kind of what I'm hinting at is if you're only running these, a couple of these jobs a day that have to be run between that 5 to 7 time frame, it might be best to just run off the development queue, get it done and over with, less queue time, with the only side effect being if it does run over 2 hours, you're gonna have to rely on those checkpoints or the restart. So I don't know how much that would, cause an issue to your workflow. But also, we do have the idea of there could be like a standing reservation, which would have to be okay through other channels first. But that would be another way to guarantee that when you submit your cron job or when you schedule your cron job, unless there's a system disaster, there'll always be a node ready waiting to run the job. But the only problem with that is, again, that takes away resources from other users. And this is where like approval or something else would have to come into play. And that's the only way to guarantee that it would run at a certain time.
So John, we talked with Kelly Gaither before about doing that. And Dan is aware of this conversation. So
Yeah, we got the approval for that already.
should I, yeah, well, I'm just wondering, like, what should I trigger inside TAC to kind of make sure I go through the proper channels? I mean, I can go talk down through Kelly or Dan again, but
Yeah.
what do you think is the best way for me to proceed with that
I
request?
mean, personally, I would just run it by Dan. Just say like John said this. I mean, if these, so it's like it's a similar issue like what I had with at USF, the University of South Florida, is we had the red tide modeling, and that had to run every day at a certain time just to get the reports of the Florida Wildlife Commission. They had to get their own dedicated nodes because everything ran at a certain time. We used to have them on a standing reservation, which works great. But ultimately, what I'm trying to say is if you need absolutely guaranteed time to run at a certain time and have the data ready, having a dedicated node would be the way to do it. But going back to what you just said, Suzanne, is like as long as Dan okays it, or even Kelly, we can always set a standing reservation. I don't know if this has to be done Monday through Friday or if it's like an every other day thing. When you get a little bit of flexibility with the timing and the number of nodes that is, I don't think there'd really be a problem with an actual reservation, like a standing reservation, in this system. The other idea too would be, how long is this project expected to run? Is it going to be like a year, 2 years? Like that's another thing we have to take into consideration as well.
It's probably in perpetuity, right?
Yeah, it is. And then John, also the another thing that we discussed at some point is like we are not we can actually have like a contract or something and then pay to reserve a node as well. That's not a problem on our end as well. So
I mean,
if it comes to resources, we can pay for some stuff as well.
do you remember we talked with, so John, also just for background for you, we talked with Tommy, I feel like that was almost 2 years ago now, about the possibility to, I mean, I think you were on the call. It was with Saul, and we talked about the
Yeah.
possibility of just y'all purchasing hardware, which was like, at that time, it was like $7,000 per node, I want to say, or maybe it was 7K for two nodes. I don't know what the cost would be now, but Tommy had even recommended that y'all could just have like your dedicated nodes that TAC would maintain. So, John, I'll just.
That's not the problem at all on our end.
It wasn't very much when Tommy gave us like an estimate, but John, so I'll float that idea from a couple of years ago that Tommy had mentioned as one possible approach.
Yeah.
What's your reaction when we say that? Is that crazy talk, or does that make sense with
So
other
I mean,
systems?
I don't think, I think if you have a handful of nodes that you want to purchase, that makes one thing, but like purchasing just one dedicated node kind of defeats the purpose of like cluster computing, because at this point we have to put aside nodes. Not saying it can be, it can't be done, but you have to put aside a node to make a special queue for it and stuff like that, just to guarantee that those resources will be available on demand. Which brings me back to another question here. Is there like some expected like turnaround time that is required? Like if you submit this job, does it have to run within the first 2 or 3 hours, or do you have a little bit of flexibility of when that data needs to be available?
I would say by working hours is normally the preference. That's why we run it early in the morning, so that by the time people are in work that day, if there's an event, they have up-to-date currents.
Okay.
It's a bit flexible. I think anything within a couple hours would be fine. But it is pre-scheduled, so it's like the more rigorous that we can make the time consistent, the more we can manage like our upstream, or not upstream, our downstream like data flow pipelines for getting that data like up to the storage platform on the website,
Okay.
because we have to have other things that are like syncing those data products to
Yeah.
that. So if there was a dedicated time we could do that, that would also be helpful.
Do you
And that
know how large the data set is that you have to transfer back to your side?
I think it's I mean I just did a check a second ago, and it's for the past 6 months worth of data, it's about 80 gigs.
Oh,
So
okay. So that's, yeah, that's nothing
each
nowadays.
day it'll be, I don't
Now,
know,
if this were 1983, that'd be a problem.
five max.
Okay.
And something we haven't mentioned yet that I wanted to bring up is that we have a public server that we're currently hosting the data, and it was pre-configured to where it was syncing to one of our local machines. But since we're not running this locally right now, we're running it on TAC. There is a bit of a problem where we also need to find a way to get that data from TAC to that place without manual intervention.
Yeah.
And so we also need, if possible, a way to like create a public URL for like a folder, or like put the data somewhere on TAC that we can actually access without credentials.
Yeah.
Currently I'm having to SCP all of it with like actual sign in, and since it needs to work over the weekend, or if I'm not around.
So that, I mean, is the system you're transferring to, like, does it support SSH?
Yeah.
So what you could do then is just have, you could copy that key from the system, the receiving end system, and you just save that on TAC. So what happens is when you go to transfer your data, you just specify the key in question. I mean, I can show you how to do that, but that'll make it to where it's passwordless, transfers. And then you would just put that transfer either through, through a cron job or at the end of the job script.
So it
So
doesn't need a two-factor authentication
if
then?
you're transferring off the system,
Yeah.
then no.
Okay.
But when you're transferring to TAC, yes, there will be MFA involved.
Okay.
But transferring off, I mean, it just depends on what the receiving system is configured to do. Like, is it
Okay.
configured to require MFA? Does it just need an SSH key?
Yeah, if you
So.
could show me how to do that, that would be cool. And then I'll need to check with Evan to see if IT is going to get mad at us for trying to do that.
Okay.
Because if we're putting like a local machine's information on a separate
Well,
cluster.
what it is basically is when the whole idea of SSH is when you create a key, you have the concept of a public key and you have the concept of a private key.
Private key, yeah.
And so what you would be doing is you would just be refer you would take the public key and put that in the authorized host files or the authorized keys file on the receiving end, and then you just use the actual private key and just transfer. But yeah, I mean, it sounds complicated, but it's really not. It's
Okay.
just basically allowing you to transfer off system using SFTP or SCP without requiring authentication because you're using the key, if that makes sense.
Just a little bit, yeah.
No worries, no worries.
So
I can show you
we
something.
need
Maybe
some
John Carr
downtime.
can contact you at some point and say that That's
we can
fine.
do set up that.
Cool.
That would
Yeah,
be
I'm more of an
great. engineer that was forced to learn computer science than actually like having formal training in it. So a lot of that sounds important, but I no one ever told me what it meant.
So, and then the next thing too, which I think was like the initial beginning part of the call, was the how much I believe the allocation or the SUs that would be required. Is that
Exactly.
correct, Suzanne?
Yeah, that, and I
Okay.
want to make sure we talk about the SUs that are required for execution, but also storage, which is part of why I've got Chris here, is to make sure that we're all copacetic with what that looks like too.
So the SUs, I mean, it's based upon the queue, right? So like it's the queue and then the runtime. So I think what we need to find out, and this would just be, let me see what is on the user guide for Lone
So
Star.
each
Give me
SU
one.
is one processor per hour or is one node per
No,
hour?
it's per node. So we don't
Okay.
TAC schedules entire nodes,
Okay.
not like cores or memory.
Okay. So
So I
we
need to
need like two
see.
SU a day almost, basically.
Yeah, let's see what it is real quick because I have to check on the site
Yeah.
here. One sec. Let's see. I'm just trying to find it right now. Okay, yeah, right here. So it looks like normal and development would be one SU. So yeah. So that's one SU per hour basically.
So it's, let's
So
say, 2 SU a day, and that's 700 to almost like, let's say, just for the sake of calculation, 800 SU a year.
yeah.
Plus, we probably need some extra for like, some longer run and all like development. So let's
Correct.
say, let's call it 1500 a year. I think
Yeah.
that's good enough
I
for.
mean, yeah, I've seen a lot of allocations that have tons of SUs in them. So that would be more of like the admin side of things. But, just so you know, yeah, you're looking like you were saying, basically two SUs per run if you're keeping it at 2 hours. And like you said, giving yourself wiggle room, I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah,
And
so
then the SUs for
1500 a year.
storage are different.
Yeah, so
Okay.
we'll do like I'll probably do more than if you 1500 is the minimum, then I'll like ask for I could either ask for 2000. Is that
Yeah,
reasonable?
I would say 2 3000 would be per year, definitely reasonable. And if you need to do it multiple year, just multiple that to the
Okay.
number of years.
So then on the storage side of things, do you want us to store backup of the runs or do you want us, I mean, again, this is more Chris's purview than mine. So from here, how do you want us to handle the
I
storage?
don't think that we are going to need that, Kyle, because we're going to get the storage on our local machine and there is going to be on that, like, when we transfer it to our public domain. I think we have like two backups anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my hope. I think once it scales up to being multiple years, then we might have some questions about like whether all of those platforms can actually support all of that, but I don't know where those
Yeah, I think
threshold
we can take care
ultimately
of the
comes
storage
into.
on our end because the Ferrari machine could get like, I don't know, many slots of the hard, and then we can just keep adding those.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the storage, we need anything beyond the like, normal storage that we need on a daily operation. And we can actually override those on tag so we don't need to, get a lot of storage space.
Okay, so what do you guys think, Chris? How much should I ask for? Just because I'll ask for a little bit of storage just to be safe, but
Yeah.
nothing
So
too.
is this if this
Go
isn't protected data, then they could just store the content on scratch for Lone Star. And as long as that data's been accessed within, at least once a month or something like that, they don't have to worry about auto deletions.
How does the accessing work? Is it like as long as we access any files in the folder, or is it every individual file needs
So
to
it's going to
appear?
be like every file. So
Okay.
basically you want to do that. So if it's something that you use often, more than likely you're going to have an application that's going to physically read in the file. That's how we determine if it's been accessed or not.
Okay.
So as long as it's just temporary staging, then you could just store your data in TAC, or I'm sorry, not in TAC, but in Scratch. And then, obviously you'll want to transfer it to long-term storage after that. So that could be your end. If you choose that you have to, use our ranch system, that's a way of doing it as well. The only other thing that would come into mind too is if you have any additional programs that are required, like let's say you have to build some software or something like that, you wouldn't want to put it in Scratch just because, there's a chance it could be deleted. And the home directory quotas are 10 gigs on Lone Star. So as long as you keep like a pre-built binary underneath 10, under 10 gigs or whatever, You could keep it in home and not run the risk of that being removed at all at any time because we don't touch home directories.
All of our codes are version controlled anyway, so we have all of those backups. I think the everything's currently running on work. I think some of the IO stuff needs to probably be moved to scratch, but I was afraid of the data wipe at the beginning of this. But now that things are a little bit more clear how the pipelines are working, I think I think we can probably move most of those operations to that anyway.
Okay. I mean, and you can always, I mean, you could, we generally advise against writing out of work, but if, I mean, if the binary is stored in work, that's one thing. As long as you're not like, submitting a job that's running off like, 50 plus nodes, all calling the binary from work, you're not going to make like any kind, you're not going to pop up on the radar, basically.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then also with it being an application, a binary, when you execute that, that technically is being read from the file system. So that would keep your access time on that binary up to date where it shouldn't be targeted at all.
Okay.
So just, things like that to keep in mind.
So, Suzanne, it seems that you probably need one more round of like just talk with Dan or Kelly to just make sure that we get the hero code or the reservation, and then we can start by 2000 SU on an annual basis for now. And I think that should give us anything that we want at this point.
That sounds good. Okay, well, I'll get on that. And since Dan is aware of this that we had this conversation, thanks for letting me record it because it's nice for me to be able to sit and
And
listen.
Suzanne, there is one last thing. It's like we created a TWDB account with the tag, and we really want, if it's possible, to get like, because that's our IT requirement in a way, to rather than people Carl using his own account, he actually used that account to log into the system. So if you can add that one to the allocation, that would be really nice as
Oh
well.
yeah, definitely. I'll add it to it. No problem
We
at all.
already have that account as TWDB
I'll make
tag, so.
sure. I think that can be the delegate. I've got that one set up already as the Dynamo. Is it okay if I just renew it as the Dynamo account? So it'll be called Dynamo, but that means you'll share with other like all the subside
That's
stuff if
totally fine
anything.
with us.
Okay.
We, as long as it works, it's
Yeah,
working.
yeah. And Chris just chimed in a little bit on a like direct thing just to give me a little. We'll make sure that there's a little bit of storage for you guys, but
Awesome.
also if I pair it with subside, then
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
amp it up so that it makes sure that we can cover both
Okay, awesome.
applications.
Yeah, right now our priority right now is getting that hero code more than anything else. Like that's the priority for us to not waiting on the queue.
How does the for the TWDB account, how does that handle multi-factor? Where is the code going, or where's the authenticator for that?
It's a good question.
So,
I
go
cannot
ahead.
remember. I need to check that.
Because you're right, we will need to move this off of my
I
account at
think there is an
some point.
email that coming to is linked to my account at this point, but you can ask IT to send it to your account.
Okay.
John, you were about to say something though about that. Like,
I wasn't sure if they were talking about MFA on our system or not. It sounds like they weren't.
Yeah, to log into TAC from a generic TWDB account, where does our multi-factor go? Because we don't have, I mean, it's probably not going to multiple phones.
No, I think it's right now it comes to my email, I guess, but I need to double check.
Is somebody up at 4 in the morning to kick these off every day or five?
No. No.
Okay,
Good job, Ray.
so let me try to understand this then. Are you automatically transferring the workflow to TAC then to run that against that data?
Yeah, all of this stuff is automated. So we
Okay.
schedule it to run at a certain time of day, and it's scheduled to pull that data to our public repository at a certain time of day. We only get involved to like manually check like quality control and debug if anything goes wrong.
Okay, so let me just double check and make sure I understand this. So you have an automated workflow that will transfer data to TAC, and that's where one of you are trying to approve the MFA.
No, not. I don't think there's anything automated transferring to TAC.
Okay. I just wanted to double check that.
But the
Data's not. You don't have
yeah,
to.
the card. How does the input data for schism works on TAC? It's gonna
That's all
get some.
getting downloaded from various APIs. So.
Okay, then
Oh, okay.
that should be fine. Okay.
That's part of
Yeah,
the
exactly.
pre-processing.
Okay. Yeah, the multi-factor is only kick in when we need to actually physically go in and then check something. I think that's the part that.
Or to transfer data off because I wasn't aware that we could schedule it to. Currently, I'm asked for my multi-factor every time I like SCP data off of the machine.
Okay, that's MFA then being requested by your receiving system, not TAC.
Right.
Yeah, so that could be an issue then. So like with the automated transfers, you would have to talk to your group about potentially being, excluded from that or whatnot, because I'm not aware of any way to include like a token or automatically input the token for you. That would be something with your the receiving end system.
Is
But
there a way
that
to
would be a question.
publicly post the data at a like an HTTP URL that we can just grab all the files in that folder from whatever other machine we have?
I mean, as of right now, there is nothing on Lone Star or Ranch or anything like that that would permit you to do that. So,
Okay,
yeah,
so
I'm not sure.
that might be an issue then. Because we will need to get that data off of TAC every day, and I don't know how to.
So, getting the data off TAC is a different story. We do provide the ability for an MFA exemption. As
Oh,
long as
okay.
it's from a specific IP address and a specific account, as long as you're using like an SSH key, or you could pull in that you could pull that data off. So the data residing on TAC, whatever the machine is that initiates it, as long as that username is exempted, which we do provide these, you can automatically just grab that data
Yeah, that's
whenever
what
you
we
need
need.
to.
Yeah. Okay, so that is what we need. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to figure out earlier,
Okay.
because it sounded like when you were pushing off TAC. We don't require an MFA for that. But it sounded like at first what you were saying is when you send data off TAC to the receiving end, you are prompted for MFA. But it sounds like actually it was just backwards
No,
when
yeah,
you.
it's pulling.
Okay, So we will need to get you an exemption then.
Okay.
So that's something we can work on as well when we're getting closer to automating this workflow out completely, because that has to go through security. Has to be approved, but it's a typical use case.
It's really probably for the security reviews easier if it comes from a like official TWDB account per se. It's like
And we can do that.
Okay. Sounds
On so
great.
on our side, just final check-in for me just to make sure I can kind of help accelerate it through, because you guys need this ASAP, like how ASAP, like John.
ASAP.
Like if
So
I
as far as
send
getting the SUs, I mean, I'm sure you can work with the allocation team on that. I would say for right now, until we figure out what we're going to do, because we have a few ideas, whether it's a standing reservation for one node or if it's a higher QoS, that's something that we need to discuss with the upper echelon first. But as far as right now to getting jobs to run faster, just submit them to the development queue. Because you're able to do that, and you should definitely have less of a wait, because the turnaround time is 2 hours or less, per job, and there's a bunch of nodes in the development part or the development queue, so you'll definitely get faster job dispatches versus submitting to the normal queue.
I had
And
started in normal because we were initially doing runs for like multiple months at a time, trying to spin up the model to get it up to speed, but it's only been in the last like week or two that our runs have been consistently below 2 hours anyway. So,
That's perfect, because that's, it sounds like you're not going to be spamming the queue with jobs, especially if you're just going to be running one or two. That to me seems like that's right there at the line of like what's acceptable for the development queue versus like what's not. We don't have like a small queue or like a quick queue on LNSTAR 6 for faster jobs. I mean, so the next best step would be the development. And then if we can find out if like a QoS or reservation can be approved, then that just changes things up a little bit as well. But ultimately, for right now, I would say just start in that development queue, because it's there. We can see if there's any idle nodes or not. Let me take a look real quick.
what does QoS stand for? Sorry, is that
It's
quality?
just it's quality of service. It's just
Okay.
like for scheduling, it means we can enforce the number of nodes, like whether it's the minimum or maximum, a hard runtime, a number of running jobs, things like that.
Okay.
Let's
Is it kind of like
see.
an SLA?
Yeah, yep,
Okay.
exactly. So like right now, just at this given time, there is one idle node on development. So that means you could submit a job at this point, and as long as nobody beat you to it, you would have your job start almost immediately.
Okay, so what I'm
Perfect.
going to do is rework my allocation request. I'll re-ramp it up. It'll be the Dynamo. I think the TWDB account is already the authorized delegate on that, but I'll
Good.
make sure it is.
Awesome.
And then, so John and Chris, I'll probably copy you on stuff going between me and Dan to try and get that approved quickly. And then, if either of you see something that I'm like missing, or if I need to submit a ticket to do something differently, let me know. One question, final question, John. Should I try and kick off the process of getting the, I don't know, I was in my brain hearing whitelist for their,
The MFA exemption?
yeah.
Yeah, so what we're going to need to know is like an IP address or IP addresses. The smaller the request, the easier it is to get approved. So like if it's like one particular node that you're going to be coming from, we'll just send that IP address, the account in question, and then that goes through security. Like that would be submitted through our ticket system.
So
And then
I'll
that
just
goes
do
through
it.
secured. What's
Yeah.
that?
So I'll do a secure system request via tickets.
We can work in Slack, but it should just be like an actual ticket to NSO, like through
Okay.
our
Okay.
tickets.tac.utexas.edu. You can just specify like, hey, we need an MFA exemption for this account, for this host. This is why. And if it's since it's automated data transfer, that should be pretty self-explanatory.
Kyle, can you get us that info? I know you're about to go to the field, right?
I will email the right person and see how quickly I can get that. I don't
Okay,
know if
cool.
he's in today or not, but yeah, I'll make sure if I'm not in that Amin will forward that to you as soon as we can.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you
Yeah,
so much.
if possible, that would be the highest priority thing because the sooner we can automate the transfer off, the easier it is to like link up to our web server. Which even if it isn't like, running exactly every day yet, that would still be a useful thing to like, kind of lock in so we can start offering those publicly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Thanks everybody for jumping on here. Kyle, thanks a lot for jumping on a busy day. And
Thank you both for so much help. This is, extremely useful to us. So I really appreciate it. And it's definitely being used. So
awesome.
no problem.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, thanks,
Okay.
guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.